The Robinson R66 is cleared to start deliveries. Joe Bartels is out at Lancair. And Southwest Airlines pilots have a new union president. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 29th, 2010. The big day has come at Robinson Helicopter. The R-66 turbine has received its FAA type certificate. 80-year-old Frank Robinson delayed his retirement this year until he was sure that was about to happen. Regular deliveries will begin next month. Along with the TC, the FAA awarded a production certificate. Compared to the R-44, the 66 adds a fifth seat and turbine power, but is nearly the same in most dimensions and comes in well shy of $1 million. It looks to be a natural choice for flight schools looking to transition students from the 22 or the 44. There are nearly 60 dealers approved so far to sell the R-66, and Robinson says it expects to have worldwide support in place by the end of the year. Joe Bartels is reportedly out at Lancair. Bartels is the former owner. In the letter forwarded to ANN by a third party, company CEO Bob Wolstenholme and other senior managers say Gene Wolstenholme and his family provided a major cash infusion in June to acquire majority ownership of all Lancair companies. They've gone to court accusing Bartels of having the company pay for almost the entirety of his own investment. Bartels had been listed as vice president for international sales. The company now says in part that due to, quote, continuing irreconcilable differences regarding the future direction of the company, Bob Wolstenholme has terminated the employment and services of Joe Bartels. However, it is the Wolstenholmes' hope that an appropriate agreement regarding the resolution of ongoing disputes can be reached in the near future. Unquote. Pilots for Continental Connections carrier Commuter conducted an informational picket at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport in Ohio this week to protest proposed pay cuts they say would make them the lowest-paid pilots for their aircraft type in the industry. Colgan Air Captain Mark Segaloff, who was recently elected to represent the Commuter Group as an executive VP of the Airline Pilots Association, commented, quote, no one wins in a race to the bottom. Under Commuter's most recent contract offer, a new hire pilot would make less than $20,000 a year. If Commuter is successful in cutting pay when the industry is coming out of its slump, they will lower the bar for regional pilots across the country, unquote. The 134 pilots of Commuter began negotiations 20 months ago. The informational picketing included participation from 77 pilots employed by 14 different airlines. The membership of SWAPA, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, elected Captain Steve Chase to a 2-year term as union president in voting that closed Tuesday. Chase received 65% of the vote. He's a North Texas native, a pilot at Southwest since 1988, and currently based out of Dallas Love Field. Chase succeeds Captain Carl Kowitzki, whom he praised for laying a strong foundation for challenges coming with the AirTran merger. Quote, our pilots are facing a significant change in the company that will result in a monumental change in their careers. The next 2 years are pivotal for the Southwest pilots, and I am ready to work on their behalf. Unquote. Up next on ANN, a controller instructed an airliner to cross paths with a cargo plane. European officials don't care for U.S. security theater. And Louis Armstrong International won't be privatized after all. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 29th. I'm Paul Plack. An NTSB preliminary report on a close call in Minneapolis September 16th says an air traffic controller's error played a role. U.S. Airways Flight 1848 was an Airbus A320 carrying 90 passengers and a crew of five, headed out for Philadelphia on runway 30 left. Immediately after departure, the tower instructed 1848 to turn left, heading 260. That resulted in the airliner crossing paths with a Beech 99 cargo flight, about a half mile off the runway's extended centerline at 1,500 feet AGL. Neither pilot saw the other plane due to IMC, but the airliner's TCAS sounded a warning. The pilot of Bemidji Aviation Services Flight 46, the cargo plane, remained oblivious to the close encounter. Radar records show vertical separation came as close as 50 to 100 feet. There were no reports of damage or injury. The European Union and at least one UK airline are not happy with U.S. security theater required of their passengers bound for the United States. The requirement for passengers to remove their shoes and the separate X-ray examination of laptop computers are among the points of contention. British Airways chairman Martin Broughton spoke recently at the UK Airport Operators Association conference and said the shoe removal and separate scanning of laptops is redundant. The British Pilots Union, the operators of Heathrow, and security consultants in both countries have agreed with him. London analyst Chris Yates charges that the shoe thing is a knee-jerk reaction to the Richard Reid case and says newer metal detectors would easily find bomb components hidden in such a way. The U.S. has responded only it will continue its ongoing review of security measures based on the latest intelligence. The U.S. Air Force is continuing tests it hopes will lead to the ability to replace 50% of its petroleum-based fuels with biofuel alternatives by 2016. In the latest test, conducted at Eglin Air Force Base, an F-15 was flown on a 50-50 mix of petroleum-based JP-8 and biofuel made from animal fats and oils refined into a kerosene. The Strike Eagle reportedly flew at a variety of flight conditions, achieved supersonic speeds, and landed with no issues. The pilot, Major Matthew Coldsnow of the 40th Flight Test Squadron, observed, quote, "The chemical properties are very similar to that of normal fuel. I didn't notice any change in thrust or performance degradation," unquote. Back in March, an A-10 Thunderbolt II flew on a 50-50 mix of JP-8 and biofuel produced from the seeds of a plant called camelina, a weed that's not used as a food crop. The New Orleans Aviation Board has withdrawn its proposal to the FAA to privatize Louis Armstrong International Airport after analyzing, quote, "the conditions required to effectively privatize and the current state of capital markets," unquote. The Wall Street Journal reports the board will proceed with a city initiative to improve the airport. This isn't the first deal scuttled by those pesky capital markets. Chicago officials had a deal with city infrastructure investors to privatize Midway, but that deal, worth $2.5 billion, also fell through when the credit markets collapsed. Still ahead, SeaTac gets a grant for centralized AC for planes on the ground. NavWorks is shipping a new ADS-B transceiver. And a laser attack on a police helicopter earns a prison sentence. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 29th. I'm Paul Flack. The FAA said yesterday it's awarding a voluntary airport low-emission grant worth $18.3 million to fund a project at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. SeaTac will use the money to install a centralized, preconditioned air plant that will allow aircraft arriving at the gates to shut off their auxiliary power units and connect to a cleaner central heating and cooling system. The project will greatly reduce aircraft emissions on the ground. Since the first VAIL grant award in 2005, the FAA has funded 40 projects totaling $83 million. NavWorks says it has started shipping the ADS-600B transceiver, which it calls the industry's first universal access transceiver designed to receive subscription-free aircraft traffic and aviation weather. The 978 MHz transceiver is FAA certified and carries an MSRP of $2,495. The FAA's stated goal, pending funding, is to have ADS-B infrastructure in place nationwide by 2013, with a deadline for equipage by users set for 2020. ADS-B is already available from the northern central states, along the eastern seaboard to the Gulf of Mexico, in southwestern states, and along the west coast, as well as in Alaska. A 19-year-old California resident will be spending the next 15 months in a federal prison for aiming a laser pointer at the cockpit of a California Highway Patrol helicopter. Ramon Wells of Cathedral City pleaded guilty to the federal charge of interfering with the operation of an aircraft. The LAist reports that Wells was arrested sitting in a vehicle with the laser pointer. He had targeted the California Highway Patrol helo as it hovered during a search for a burglary suspect in a residential neighborhood. The chopper had been at an altitude of about 700 feet, and the pilot was forced to change course to be able to see. The Los Angeles Times reports that Wells will serve 3 years of supervised release after his 15 months in prison. And finally today, NASA has announced the successful activation of new hardware that will produce water aboard the International Space Station. Named for Paul Sabatier, a 1912 Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, the system combines carbon dioxide exhaled by the crew with hydrogen released by equipment that makes oxygen to create water and methane using a high-temperature catalyst. The methane is vented out into space, but the water is saved, and it totals 530 gallons per year. Hamilton Sundstrand supplied the hardware under a contract that runs through the end of September 2014. You know, I just have to note that compared to the last means we heard about being used to produce drinking water on the station, the Sabatier system, well, let's just say it sounds less gross. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Max Trescott wanted to find out why more women than men drop out of flight training. His survey found a few surprises applicable to all students and some sobering implications for flight instructors. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.